first of all, I'm not so sure that Gonzo deal is going to get done so quickly. Obviously, there are the parameters in place, and there's the roadmap that Devin Witherspoon has presented. And obviously, Gonzalez would love to get a deal, is deserving of a new deal, and the Patriots would like to get a new deal. But up until this past weekend, the two sides were not overly close, and they had not had a lot of productive conversations. So it should not be hard to get a deal done right now for Christian Gonzalez, and yet so far, it has been.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. Your calls at 617-779-7937. And you heard Adam Schefter right there. This Gonzalez deal ain't close. Even though you just had what seems to be the bones of what the contract most likely you would think was going to be with the Devin Witherspoon one that was just done by the Seattle Seahawks. You know what? Earlier, Ken, I want to talk about this poll that you posted that you just sent to us, because, you know, we were trying to figure out who's to blame in all of this. Like, is this a situation where Devin Witherspoon, you know, the contract was set, and all of a sudden the same agent between him and Gonzalez, like, it's gone rogue and he's asking for way more than what Devin Witherspoon got? Or is it the Patriots being cheap? So, like, what was more likely, that Gonzalez was asking for something way over the market, that what the market just dictated, or that the Patriots once again were cheap? And you put that poll out there, did you not,
Ken? Yep, on the EI Twitter X account. Good question by you, Rich. Pats are being cheap, slight edge, 56% to 44%, but very close, almost split. Right now, slight edge for Gonzalez, and the coming out looking the better of the two. But I bet you as we get closer, 3 weeks from yesterday is the first game, Ted. I bet you as we get closer, this is going to start to turn a little bit if Gonzalez does not return to the field.
If he misses any regular season games, that'll start to decline very quickly. So I think I think everyone's probably okay with it right now. It's until you start missing, you know, regular season games that people are going to be worried. And you know what? If he doesn't get out there and start playing, you know, against Seattle, against Jacksonville, against the Steelers, against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, those are four, you know, teams that made the playoffs the year prior. Those are big games. So,
well, let's just start with Seattle. They put 29 on you in the Super Bowl without Gonzalez. That's like a 40 burger waiting to happen.
Right.
No?
Right. Exactly. And I'm not so sure that their front seven is all that much improved. Hardly. I mean, Harold Landry hasn't even. Have you seen him? By the way,
it might be worse. Chaseon was a good pass rusher for you last
exactly.
year.
It might actually be worse. So, you know, you miss that Seattle game, and I think the narrative completely changes. But right now, he's got, I think, for the most part, support from the fans, and that's, but that won't last, Rich.
You had a really interesting point, because you talked about how when Vince Wilfork was doing this back and forth with the Patriots, he used the fans almost like as leverage, because the fans were all behind Wilfork. Wilfork was one of the more loved players that this team has had in the past 20 odd years. And Christian Gonzalez, obviously, the fans like him a lot because he's a great player. But you're right, he doesn't quite have that thing, you know, that thing
that cachet.
And why do you think that is? Like what made Wilfork such a beloved player amongst the fans that Gonzalez doesn't quite have right
now? Well, he was a Super Bowl champ. His rookie year, he won the Super Bowl. It was my last year. That was my third. That was his first. So that helps. But he was just a lovable guy. I think he, you know, was very much involved in the community. Everybody, you love his sound bites. He's an easy guy to root for. And he'd been on the team a long time. When he was asking for that big, big contract at the end, you know, he was on the team for, you know, I don't know, 8-10 years. And
that's a great point. He had more time under his belt during all that.
Yeah, so guys like him, guys like Gronk, I just think they can kind of win these negotiations from the public standpoint because of how well-liked they are, how good they are, how accomplished they are. And Christian Gonzalez, I don't think he's at that point yet, so I'm not sure he's going to win the fans over with this contract negotiation if it does go longer than it's been.
Now, 508 texter, I want to work this in. He's trying to pick a fight with Ted by asking this, but let me tweak it a little. 508 says, it's Belichick being cheap again, Ted. What a jerk. But serious question. Obviously, Bill's not here anymore. That was the narrative. The Bill was kind of driving a lot of this cheapness, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think has that changed your opinion of what's going on behind the scenes now that Bill's not here and they sort of still have that reputation?
No, it's Bill and the Crafts, they were simpatico on how they saw that.
And they still operate that way even without him here.
Oh, yeah. I think okay. So. I mean, the difference, you know, I think is Bill used a lot of the money they didn't spend on the players for his own salary. I don't think that's how Mike does it. But I think there's still a very much a similar kind of way in which they look at the finances, the Crafts, and Bill. I think we're on the same page there. So there's still some carryover. Even though Bill's not here, there's still some carryover from the way I think when Bill was here, how they do things, at least from a financial standpoint and how they do it. Contract to some degree. I'm not sure Bill would have been okay with having A.J. Brown here and signing him to that, or Steph Diggs, what they paid Steph Diggs
or
last
Milton
year.
Williams.
Or
like
Milton Williams. There are contracts
yeah.
that have been done here that I don't think if Bill was here, they would have done.
Hmm. Can I ask you about Vince Wilfork one thing? There was a rumor that he could dunk a basketball. Do you think he was that athletic,
yeah.
like to the point where he could dunk? I mean, he was enormous. But people swear that yeah. he could dunk a basketball.
Bro, I've never seen it, but I wouldn't be surprised. Are you kidding me? That's where I tell people, you want to see how good athletes of these football players are. Watch them play other sports. Yeah. Basketball is one of my favorite sports to kind of see like how athletic guys are. You would be shocked at how quick foot, how light on their feet, like how agile some of these big guys are when they play basketball. It's jaw-dropping, and I would not be surprised if Vince Wilfork could dunk a basketball.
Yeah, there was also some other thing. Like, he was like the Forrest Gump of, like, crazy athletic feats. Like, I guess that he was able to kick, like, a 60-yard field goal or something like that, too.
Yeah.
Like, I guess he was just a freak athlete all around, which is amazing because you don't imagine someone with that body type
yeah.
being able to do a lot of those things.
Yeah, no, it's remarkable. Ted Washington was another guy. I mean, Ted was bigger than Vince, but not by much, but both those guys, for as large as they were, for how much weight they carried, were phenomenal athletes. One of the best athletes I've ever played against was Larry Allen. And he was, you know, 360 pounds and an all-pro guard. He was faster and more explosive than any linebacker that they played against. So some of these big guys are athletic freaks.
It is amazing, though, because we're still sitting here. I guess the good news is that Gonzalez was out just walking around practice like today. I mean, he wasn't participating in any way.
But what did Terp say? He couldn't see him. He was like behind a fence, or that was kind of weird.
So there's the practice field where they practice today with the Eagles versus the other field where guys go to, I think, you know, for rehab and it that is the New Balance, the new Balance building that is there. It separates the two fields, so you can't necessarily see guys that are you know away from the team doing work on their own on those other lower fields anymore.
They should send Gonzo to Fort Myers. It's that perked Roman right up, got him right back. He was only there for like a day.
That's what it would be the version of Patriots sending to the Breakers
the
there
Jupiter,
and
yeah.
Jupiter there
yeah. the Breakers. I mean, I swear it's
that's
so
where you
fun.
Go if you want new contracts being done. That's
I love
where you
it.
Go. Yeah.
Oh yeah. By the way, I think do we have it? No, I don't know. I'll play it a little bit later on. But there's Jackson was out at Fenway yesterday, and somebody mentioned something about Roman Anthony that actually made me laugh out loud. It's the Roman Anthony thing. It's that until he gets up there and just starts hitting bombs, like none of those rumors are going to go away. Unfair or unfair. I mean, and especially if he comes up and just ends up like flopping. Like if he shows up and he's just bad, it's just the volume's going to get louder and louder and louder, and it's going to be harder for me to defend how ridiculous the rumors have sounded.
Well, it is fascinating. Our man Joe Weil had a good question yesterday, Ted, in the pregame. Which of the guys returning is going to have the biggest impact? Is it Crochet? Is it Roman? Is it Trevor Story?
Yeah.
Some of these other guys, and ooh. The Roman thing is so fascinating. Rich, I have no idea which way it's going to go.
I think those guys make it a more compelling finish. Trevor Story. Dude, you know what Trevor Story did? I think he basically says, yeah, I'll be back Friday, like telling Chad Tracy, don't even think about not playing me when I'm healthy. I think that's a little
that
bit
way.
Of a power play.
Yeah, I think you're
it's
right
like,
about
bro.
That. Good call.
Okay, man. And like, what, really? You're going to. Dude, there's something. Trevor's got a little man. He's got a little something up there, man. I think he's probably not enjoyed watching this team do this well without him. He wants to get on this action. The guy's got a competitive streak in him. I give him that. But I thought him basically saying I'm going to be ready to play by Friday was a little bit of a power play by him, and I wonder how that's going to play.
He better not send Mickey Gasper down. My man, that's been stashed, is now a goatee. He's hitting bombs.
Great story, but is Mickey going to be there?
Yes.
Hitting dingers in the playoffs?
Lefty only bat specialist. Okay. He's the new Yoshida.
I'm just, you look at Mickey Gasper on the when they get to the playoffs in the lineup, you go, oh, yeah. Feeling real good about Mickey Gasper, man.
Hey, it's WB Mason, baby, up there with that huge stash. I swear to you, you know, I think with those two of them coming back, when it comes to Trevor Story, when it comes to Roman Anthony, I think it's two completely different mindsets. If I'm Roman Anthony, I almost feel like scared. Like, I don't want to show up and screw up everything. I'd be intimidated. What Wilson Contreras said the other day with us when we told him about Roman Anthony returning. First of all, the first thing he said is, I didn't hear that. So,
news to me, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He had no, he had no idea that Roman was playing in Portland, or he was feigning he didn't know.
It wasn't top of mind by any means.
Ew.
Yeah. But I do like, I mean, his whole message was, it sounded like, Roman better be ready.
Yeah.
Like when he gets here, you know, he better be ready to roll, because we did this together and we don't want anyone stepping in here thinking that they've all of a sudden earned what we have earned. You come here and contribute, and then absolutely you can be a part of it.
I think
this.
That's good. It feels as if those guys don't act that way or talk like that if they don't feel the kid needs to hear that. Like, so there's something in his behavior prior to going to Florida where the older guys on this team felt like Roman wasn't, you know, doing the things he needed to do to be a big leaguer in this league, right? And so if it would be a shame if Roman didn't pick up all these signals and comes back and, you know, it's the same as it was before he left. I can't imagine that. I think obviously, you know, Meyer being gone is going to be help him to be more focused. So, but it's interesting how these older guys have kind of, In their way, subtly taking shots at Roman Anthony.
And I like this Twitch comment, the Boston Massacre. He and Gonzalez, Roman and Gonzalez, the same person, but Roman was paid way too early, and Gonzalez not paid early enough.
Yeah.
You think that is part of it, like the money? Roman got the contract?
I think it's think about human nature. I mean, that's why I think why what makes football the greatest sport, because it's you're singing for your supper all the time. If you just gave guys guaranteed contracts, I'm not sure you would see the same level of effort out there every single week. So I think there's something to that. I do, Ken.
Yep, could be. All right. By the way, Tommy Curran is going to join us in 15 minutes. He's going to be on with us at 4:30, and we will have him on here in just a few. And your call, 617-779-7937. Back in two. It's 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurton, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, 617-779-7937. And I liked what we heard from Chad Tracy the other day. We were talking about Trevor Story returning. He said, we're going to keep playing Mona. He said, you got to keep him in there. So you got to figure out some sort of way.
What are you going to do with Trevor, though? What do you think? I mean, do you move Mona to
DH, I guess?
I mean, listen, I don't know, but I do know that it's an interesting message. It's like, all right, Trevor, I know that you want to come back up here, but there's a guy playing. He's doing pretty well at your position. So,
dude, that's such a Trevor move. Yeah, I'm playing. I'm going to be back Friday.
Classic Trevor.
You mean all Trevors
or actually Trevor Story?
I think Trevor Story. I don't want to say all Trevors.
Just all Trevors. Just every Trevor.
Every
I Trevor.
I mean, every Trevor I know is like Trevor Story. So all Trevors. It's such a Trevor thing to do, just to say I'm coming back Friday.
Trevor playing. Noah always does that.
Let's go to John on line one. He wants to talk about Trevor Story. What's up, John? How's it going, buddy?
You know, Ted, Trevor Story's got a lot of balls and grit. Until you put a bat in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Three letters, DFA.
Oh.
I don't remember if he's done this year or next year, but for Christ's sake, he was one of the worst offensive players in baseball when he got hurt. He was in the least 10 as far as offensive production. Absolutely, without question, one of the worst signings this team has ever made, other than that stupid outlier 4 months that he had last year. This guy has left Coors Field and has single-handedly proven the theory that if you play in Colorado for an extended period of time and you leave, you become nothing but a bag of hammers. I cannot stand watching Trevor Story play baseball almost as much as I can't stand watching that asshat Jaron Duran play baseball. And I'm in danger of having to watch them both? No! No more! I've had it! Don't screw this up! Sorry.
John, were you sitting behind the Sox dugout yesterday by chance?
But John is makes a good point. To me, I think plugging in Roman Anthony is going to be a hell of a lot easier because obviously he's going to come in there. I think he's been humbled. As a matter of fact, this might in the end end up being one of the best things for Roman Anthony as far as his attitude that everything is earned. You can't take anything for granted. Mm-hmm. And so I believe he's going to come up with just the right attitude that I don't want to screw this up. Trevor Story, on the other hand, listen, I don't have any kind of evidence that it's going to be this way. But that comment you said, Ted, did make me feel a little bit like, listen, this is my spot.
Yep.
Get the hell out
That's
of the way.
It felt like.
Didn't it, though?
Real quick, I got to just say this for the record. Trevor, if you're listening, please don't let my comments about you if impact my daughter babysitting for your kids at some time. So sometimes she's
took a turn.
My daughter's the sweetest thing ever. Please don't hold my comments towards you against her. Okay,
if
you
want to have her, about to get her pay docked.
I mean, I feel bad. She's babysat for Trevor's kids. They're wonderful kids, wonderful family. So I don't want what I say to impact her. So that's all for the record.
Okay.
But John,
25 homers and 96 driven in last year. WAR of 4.1. Not a bad year a year ago.
No,
you will agree,
dude. You could almost make an argument he was the MVP of the Red Sox last year.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a great year, but it was okay. It was pretty good. Not saying the contract was has not lived up to the contract. John is right. However, if the injury is seriously what caused his horrible start, maybe he can give you a little bit of that.
And I think I just can't forget the comments. You know, when Alex Cora was let go as manager, him being very critical of the owner, saying the owner. They needed the players deserved to hear from the owner regarding that that firing, which was like, oh, I don't know about that, but
you know what? I was with him though.
Okay,
at that point, I actually that was something that I was like, yeah, you know, that's such a major move that I do believe that the owner should have said something to them. I actually agree with him on that. But it is interesting. We just saw this thing from Chris Cotillo. He said Trevor Story is not playing for the Woo Sox tonight. Kiner Falefa is going to be playing shortstop. I don't know what that means.
Little Romanoff day. Is that what we got?
So has Trevor played at all at down at the?
Yeah,
yeah, he played.
Okay, all right.
Shortstop yesterday. He said Cotillo followed up. Scheduled recovery day. He'll be back in the Woo Sox lineup tomorrow night, per a source. So that means he's not back Friday, if Cotillo's right.
Yeah.
Maybe this weekend.
This is interesting, though.
Someone got a little ahead of himself.
Yeah.
He obviously didn't have a very good day the other day, right? Wasn't he 0-for? I think he went 0-for-3, I believe.
I have not followed it that closely, but, I mean, defensively, he'd be an upgrade over Monasterio, right? You would agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Monasterio, as I said, he screws up a lot, but it always seems the game that he screws up defensively, he makes up for it in the plate by doing something.
Well, that's the hard thing about Monasterio. He makes great plays in the field, and then he has a play in the field where you're like, whoa, okay. But Trevor Story, if we remember, some of his fielding was declining at the end of last year, so I don't know. I would think theoretically, because all this rest, he should be fresh in the field and that we wouldn't have any short arm throws to the first base, but I don't know. If it's an upgrade, it's not, I don't think, a significant one.
Quick aside, Trevor Lawrence, what kind of season's he having? Succubus, or is he going to exceed expectations?
I don't know what
I don't think he's got anything serious going on. He's avoided the
has
wax.
Has he cut his hair at all? Is the hair the same? It's going to be an average year. Average year, cut the hair.
He's married, so
he's married to his high school sweetheart. That is exactly what you want for a quarterback. You want somebody. It's like Drake. Drake's the same way. I believe he's been with his lady since
you know
they
what?
Were in high school.
I was not the biggest fan of that. Like, really, your high school sweetheart? Really?
With Drake, it was like middle school.
I know. That was even bigger. It's like, really, bro? Just like the same girl? What is that? I mean, come on. Then you see her on Instagram. If you don't love Drake May's wife, that's on you, man. Right. And I get it now. I get it. It's like, dude, perfect match.
She plays her role perfectly.
Oh,
she really does.
Love her.
But isn't that like exactly what you want? Someone who, listen, I've got all this in care of. I know how this all works. I don't even want to have to worry about that part of my life.
Well.
And then you've got what's his name? Justin Herbert. And Madison Beer, like literally, like running fingers through his hair, like on the practice field, and you're just like, man, I'm telling
here's
you.
Here's the thing. Here's where the succubus, where it's thrown back in my face. Drew Bledsoe versus Tom Brady. Mara, lover, sweetheart, Drew's wife for many, many years.
Yep.
Tom Brady, out. He was a prowler. He was, I mean,
Tara Reid.
Tara Reid.
Yeah.
And this one, and now, I mean, just running, you know, and then he turns out to be the greatest of all time.
But they weren't showing up at practice, were they?
They were not.
Okay, so that's different.
This is different. Like, we're in an Instagram world, and all of them want to get, like, their Q rating up. They want to, and it's the players, too. And I said this before when it came to the Kelce and the Taylor Swift thing. He is making more money now, probably as much money as he is outside of football than he is playing football, with his podcast world, his endorsements, his are you smarter than a sixth grader? And when he leaves here, he has launched himself into a new stratosphere outside of the NFL with the money that he is going to be able to make, because they became America's sweethearts. And I'm telling you, all of these, like, of these quarterbacks and all of these influencers and everybody like that all know how that can completely boost the money they can make by making it a big thing every Sunday, that there's your girl on the biggest stage on the NFL, of the NFL Sunday Night Football. There's your girl. And all of a sudden the world loves you.
They did a report, Rich, and, you know, take of this what you will. Like a marketing group, a company that tracks marketing and financials. They said that Taylor Swift.
Let's just talk. Go ahead, Stiz.
Taylor Swift has generated nearly $1 billion in equivalent brand value for the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL since she began attending games.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It's massive.
Now, who's the new candidate? Ted, you said you had a new succubus entry.
I got to check my notes here. I can tell you in 1 second. I caught off guard here.
Sorry, I thought you.
All right, well, that's a big market tease.
Yep.
So,
keep going. Yep.
Okay, that's a big market tease. We'll find out who the succubus is. Also, Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston joins us with the latest and everything that's going on, and maybe we could ask him his opinion of the succubus.
Oh, I got. Theory. I see it. I'll tell you when we come back. Yep.
Okay, sounds great. All right, I'll be back in just a moment. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, 617-779-7937. And our good buddy Tom E. Curran. He has been down there watching all the chaos between the Eagles and between the Patriots and A.J. Brown, apparently seeing Jalen Hurts and them, like, talking to each other and dapping each other up and high-fiving and planning a, you know, a nice breakfast meeting later on. I don't know. But apparently they put all their hate behind them for the cameras to all see. And Tommy Curran, I'm sure that will be his next big story about how to get along with your ex-teammates. Maybe Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum could take some notes. Tommy, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my God. Who cares?
Well, the Eagles media apparently does. They swarmed him about that, did they not, AJ Brown?
Their hands are touching. Okay, great. Yeah, what's going on? It was. I'll tell you what, Rich. It was really eye opening for me, and this is kind of the point that I'll make on Quick Slants, which is on tonight at 6 o'clock. Relative to my expectations coming into this 2 days worth of practice, the Patriots were jaw droppingly competent. You know, 2 years ago, they were embarrassed. They were not ready for NFL participation when they saw the Eagles. And I still felt that the talent, especially in the Eagles' defense, was probably going to shine a light on some of the deficiencies the Patriots had along their offensive line with their running game. And that didn't happen. They were really, really, really good relative to my expectations. And I didn't think it was going to happen that way. So good news for Patriots fans.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to see, obviously. And you know, speaking of A.J. Brown and everything out there, just kind of just tell me how camp has been, like, watching A.J. Brown with this offense. Has it evolved? Has he gotten more chemistry over these past couple of weeks with Drake May? How's he look?
He's a 10. He really is. I've watched, you know, I'm lucky. We're all lucky. I particularly feel that I'm lucky. This is going to be my 30th friggin' season covering the team. Nice. And I had all of Brady, and I had Bledsoe, and I had Terry Glenn. I know what a good player looks like, and it's been a while at that position. I know what really good offense looks like, whether it's Gronkowski or Moss or all the players we got to see. And it's been a while since I've seen a player as talented as A.J. Brown on the receiving end of things, whether it be Edelman or Gronkowski. It's probably since then. You know, you'd have straight nice catches by a Tyquan Thornton. You'd have straight nice catches by Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty routine that he's doing really solid. He's doing spectacular stuff and also pedestrian stuff with relative ease. So talked to Julian Edelman this week, and I said, would you imagine that he's going to be featured the way guys like Davante Adams and Brandon Marshall were for Josh McDaniels? And he said, 100%. So that means 150, 160 targets is something that Julian would not be surprised by.
TC, I'm curious how you would describe this offense for the Patriots, you know, with the addition of A.J. Brown and even Romeo Doubs and, you know, even just some depth that's tied in. The offensive line seems to be improved. The running back room is just improved from last year. Would you describe this offense? Is it weaponized? Is it a high-octane offense? How would you kind of encapsulate what you think this offense can be?
Yeah, again, at the risk of putting myself out there and sounding too optimistic, it's very, very explosive. It should be explosive. It should be a 26, 27 to 30 point a game offense.
Love it.
And we did. I wrote so many stories the last few years about just the ineptitude, whether it be where they were finishing on third down, where they were finishing in goal to go situations. Last year they sucked in goal to go. They were an embarrassment. And they weren't that much better inside the red zone. And we watched some red zone today, and they weren't perfect, but they're so much better because of the weapons that they have, whether it's Brown, whether it's Mays decision making, whether it's Doubs. DeMario Douglas should be a better red zone weapon than he has been because of his quickness, even though he's a smaller fella. They're just, again, at the risk of me having my face rubbed in it later on, they're really, really, really tough.
How's the rookie class looking, Tommy?
That's a little bit more TBD, jury's out. I think that Momu is a jury's out situation. I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to get better. He's probably got the highest learning curve of the three. And I'm just really kind of sticking with the top three. Mm-hmm. I think Akis has looked good. He's got the simple elements of athleticism, speed, power that should make him relevant. And the Patriots defense over the last couple days started out very well against the Eagles. Actually, yesterday the Eagles offense played much better than the Patriots defense, and then it leveled out. Today was kind of the flip. The Patriots defense settled down after a quieter start. But they did generate more pressure than you would have thought. And Elijah Ponder was part of the guys who was generating pressure. So they feel okay about it. Akis should be a part of that. And Lomo, I think, still needs to really grow. Did I already do Lomo?
You did Lomo. Raritan first. What about Raritan? What do you think of him?
Raritan's been really good. It's been a long time since the Patriots drafted a tight end who had any relevance at all. A really long time. Mm-hmm. Probably since 2010. So it's good to see a guy come in and be able to master the quote-unquote learning curve that we've already always attributed to them not being able to succeed when they joined this team.
All right, so Tommy Curran, I think there was a unrealistic expectation amongst a lot of people that as soon as Devin Witherspoon ended up getting his deal, then bang, Christian Gonzalez would end up having things in writing and everything would be great in Gillette Stadium and he would be back on the team ready to play. That did not happen. It has not happened yet. What seems to be the holdup if what is the frame, essentially, of what is to be expected is already out there in the Devin Witherspoon contract?
Can I be completely honest? I have no idea. I mean, I've heard Albert Breer say it's guaranteed money. I've heard other people say it's first 2 years money. So there's any number of things. And the business has changed. I can't call up Jack Mills, who used to be Ted's agent, probably still is. Say, Jack, what's the problem out there?
My guy.
You know, it only gets filtered through. So I don't know what the holdup is. And they get all uptight when we ask questions about it. But it's clearly a question of if the Patriots were already offering the most, and I've said this on your show before, they don't want contract to be obsolete, they meaning the Gonzalez camp. So how do you prevent that? You overpay them relative to now so that by next year, when the next big contract comes down, yours is still relevant. And I think the Patriots reasonably, not that they're right, but they would reasonably say, well, what are we supposed to do that for? You've only played three seasons. You're going into your fourth. You've had some injury issues. And just because Witherspoon got paid first, and this is what I've had more conversations with, it's starting to germinate. Are we positive that Christian Gonzalez is a better player than Devin Witherspoon?
No. To me, it's
positive.
Not really.
He's a better classic corner, smoother operator. He's what you would draw up. But when you look at Witherspoon and the things that he can do, too, I mean, should it be that big of like a $2 or $3 million gap per year? Go ahead, you guys.
I want to ask you this question. When you just posed that question to the group, let me put it this way. And by the way, I love the Jack Mills call out right there. He's got to get that Baker Mayfield contract done. He's working on that. But do you think maybe what? Let me ask you this, Tom. Is Gonzo, because I made this argument earlier in the show, is Gonzo, can he maybe make an argument that he's more valuable for his defense than maybe Devin Witherspoon is for his defense in Seattle? Could you make an argument?
Yes, and the reason because he could say, look, Devin might be a really good player, but he's part of a machine out there.
Yeah,
I'm kind of the only game in town out here.
Yep.
God bless him. I love my new teammate, Elijah Ponder, and I think Draymond Jones is terrific and everybody else, but that's a sick defense. This defense will be sick if I'm not playing. So that's where he could make the counter. But, you know, they're different players, and I'm not sitting here after 3 years of watching Christian Gonzalez saying that he's not one of the most graceful, smooth athletes I've ever seen. But I wonder if that's part of the holdup. He's going to make $33 million, Witherspoon is, $59 million over the first 2 years, guaranteed, or in the first 2 years, not guaranteed, 101 guaranteed. Maybe the holdup, and I'm kind of speculating because it hasn't been done, is that the Patriots were going to go, well, just because he signed, do we really believe you're $2 million better and we're supposed to give you 35? Mm-hmm. And I've always thought 35 would be the number anyway. So we'll see how closely it comes into that.
Tom, why don't they televise these joint practices? They are so much more interesting than these preseason games. They got to make money off this stuff.
Great question. You know, if you're going to take the Super Bowl to Bulgaria to try and make, though, why don't you figure out a way to sell one of the best off-season commodities, which is, you know, do these things at night. I don't care. The fans will show up at night. Yeah. Put it in prime time.
Right.
People would watch that. Oh. Look, turn every place into Midnight Madness.
Do you? I mean, you know, the one-on-one stuff, Tom. I mean, the one-on-ones with the receivers and DBs and the offensive linemen, defensive linemen. They people would eat that stuff up.
What you need, I think, Ted, and it's a great question too. And is to who would be the guinea pig, the willing guinea pig to open up the practices? And it has to be a team that's compelling. You can't just say, "All right, well, let's have." And they're not an incompetent team, but they're on the TV in front of me right now. Let's have the Bengals and Titans do it. Well, great. Who cares? You know, the Eagles and Patriots would have been a prime opportunity to say, we're coming into your place with our ESPN and NFL Network cameras, and we're going to shoot all these reps, and we're going to do them live. We're not going to be in your face, but we're going to do them live. They do kind of do that somewhat or used to on NFL Network, but or stream them. Stream them to your local peoples,
right?
To your local fan bases, and make them pay for that. Look, if people are going to drive down to Foxborough to watch, eh, maybe that's part of the reason, too. I am really running off at the mouth here.
But, that's good. I love it.
But I think if you, like, maybe that's another hook to it is, all right, well, we make money when people come in here in, you know, training camp revenue. If we start streaming, these people aren't going to show up. But I don't think that would be the case.
I agree.
No, absolutely not. I want to ask you about this real quick, just because every year we seem to hear Roger Goodell say the same thing about wanting to have a team overseas. The logistics would just seem fairly ridiculous. I don't know how you can do that, but once again, he talked about how hell-bent the league is on getting an actual team overseas. How realistic is that?
If they say they're going to do it, they generally end up doing it. And I just think there's an awful lot of things that occur in the world today that people look at and say, well, nobody really wants that. And it just gets ramrodded down your throat.
Right.
And I think that if you look at who has supported the NFL for nearly 100 years, 75, are we at 100 yet? Not yet. For more than 75 years, it's the American football fan. Mm-hmm. Yet the American football fan is not dying to have their product taken over to somebody who just looks at it as a novelty. And I don't know. People in Germany might be passionate. I've got plenty of fans who follow me, and I didn't mean to make it sound that way. There are plenty of Patriots fans in Germany who will follow the things that I have written and other people on the beat. They're not fans of mine. They're Patriots fans. But I just think serve your loyal customers first and stop pretending that your loyal customers of which 93% of your fan base is made up of, is sitting there as excited about it as you people are when you stand in front of a microphone.
Yeah, but that team also gets screwed. Like, if you're a player on Germany or even London, like, every away game is, like, the worst road trip. And it's like, honestly, and, like, and they're like, oh, you know, we can solve that by having them do two games at a time. No, but then you're away from your family for, like, this two, like, full weeks where you wait for that. It just seems to me like if you end up getting drafted by, you know, the London Buckaroos or whatever they're going to call it, like, you got to be pissed. Like, I don't know how that's fair in any way, shape, or form. It's immediately a bad disadvantage. You know, people talk about, like, a, you know, home field advantage, domes and things like that. How about the worst travel ever every time you play an away game?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're going to have to play two or three games at home. Say the, you know, the Patriots go over, then the Jets go over, and then the Dolphins go over to play the Jaguars. London Jaguars. And then the London Jaguars come over and they stay for 3 weeks playing, you know, the same three teams. And you're back and forth. But you're exactly right. And this is the kind of thing that come 2031, which is thankfully far enough away. But when the CBA is up and the NFL continues to rattle sabers about putting a team overseas, the NFLPA should put its foot down. Good. You want to do that? We are not giving up our 50-50 split of gross revenue.
And
we are going to continue to see. Yeah, we're going to continue to see the salary cap balloon. And those, so, I don't know. I just hate the business, whether it's the Gonzalez stuff.
I just want to see him play the old pigskin.
I mean, I'm not like a complete, you know, knuckle dragger and don't understand what it's all about. You know, just go hit him in the mouth. Right. I get the business side of stuff, but it just gets... I don't know.
I'm with you,
I'm an English major.
I made an argument where, why are our salaries, you know, how does everybody get to see what we make for, you know, for our salaries? If no one else has their salaries out there. And of all the things that I think are fun and interesting and compelling to talk about in this sport, I put the salaries at the bottom. But some people, they would vehemently disagree with me on
that. I think this Gonzalez thing is awesome. I do. Yeah. Because Kraft put his like stuff out there. He put his clankers on the table the minute he said the highest paid of all time, which makes this so great because now you got to deliver, baby.
Right, I agree, but I think in the grander scheme of things, his clankers are on the table, but it's not what we would call. And again, I shouldn't be doing this. Sometimes I do this. Yeah, well, it's not Will Fork. It's not Mankins. It's not like Randy Moss. And I'm dismissing the importance because I've seen bigger things happen.
Sure.
So I end up rebuffing the notion that it's a big deal. It's a big deal. But I keep looking. I'm like, he's not going to hold out. So there's no dire real deadline here. He's going to play. And I don't think he's going to fake. Somebody who's playing all the time that he did during training camp so far, and I don't think that this is a ruse or a bogus injury at all, he's not going to win the games come and say, yeah, I'm not playing.
But what if he gets nicked up and something that normally you would play through, but in this case it's like, I got to protect this package. You know, listen, I haven't gotten paid yet. Maybe I'll take this one off.
No, you're
Couldn't
right.
you see him doing that?
I could, and that's fair. Look, that's what Rob Gronkowski did for a large portion of the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, once he broke his arm after they had bolted it back together, and then he broke his arm on the sideline towards the end of that season. I can't remember. It might have been a playoff game. Might have been their first playoff game in 2012, and they ended up not getting to the Super Bowl. Once he broke that arm after it had been bolted back together, he operated completely differently.
Yeah.
Saying in the releasing statements, I'm not taking the field unless I'm 100%. And maybe that should be an approach used by Gonzalez. But the point is, it's a different regime. Might still be the same owner, but Bill did Robert Kraft's dirty work and then some. I think Bill really amplified Ted. He showed Robert Kraft how to be stingy with a contract.
That's a big reason he got hired in the first place.
Before he got there.
That was the way he viewed the salary cap, as you know, Tom, is a big reason that Kraft was drawn to Bill in the first place.
This guy's pretty good with the dollars and cents.
It's not a bad one. All right. Well, listen,
Thanks,
good having you on. I love that you said that A.J. Brown is a 10. Out of all the years you covered this team, that I got to be honest that, we went from 6 to midnight there all of a sudden.
He's not the only 10. I've seen other 10s, but I haven't seen a 10 in a while. He's a 10.
And he's awesome. He's jacked up 10. Like, he's the most muscular, I think, receiver they have ever had. I mean, I don't think that's a reach to say that. He's got muscles on top of muscles.
Either him and Deion Branch.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Branch was pretty jacked.
Don't kid him. Kidding.
Okay, you're right. he was a tiny little thing.
Sorry.
Hell of a player.
All right. Good stuff, Tommy Curran. I love having you on, and we will talk to you again next week, sir.
Thanks, bub.
Great. Sorry to be late. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, man.
All right, we'll see you then. All right, we have to break. We'll be right back.
Jasper waves the bat, open stance. He swings and hits a high drive to right. Back by the Arizona bullpen and gone! Over the bullpen, a three-run homer that ties the game at 5. Home runs in 3 straight games for Jasper. His first 3 Fenway Park home runs. And the Red Sox do it again. 5-5 in the 6th.
It is 93.7 WEEI. That is a positive highlight from last night.
Yeah, the Red Sox did lose that game last night.
They did lose, but, okay.
Don't blow past the Mickey M. Gasper, as Jim Rice called him, Mickey Mantle Gasper. I love that. That's a good call.
Are we going to lean into this guy in the playoffs? Is this going to be one of our big weapons in the playoffs?
Why are you dissing Mick? He's had homers in 3 straight games. He's a local kid.
Do you look at the name Mickey Gasper and just go, oh, my gosh.
What? I look at the dongs and I say, hey, you got 3 in a row here.
Yeah, it's part of the part. Don't you get excited for, like, the glue guys, the overachievers, the Tony Seagulls of the world?
In the regular season, that's a fun story. I think it's cute.
Cute.
I even go so far as to say it's cute, but can we count on these guys in the playoffs?
Also, just not to blow past Tommy Curran, was he sort of telling you that Gonzalez is not that good? I mean, he's saying at least not that much better than Witherspoon.
I was a little bit surprised.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. But then I framed it in such a way that he couldn't really twist his way out of it. I said, well, is he more valuable to his defense than Devin Witherspoon? And he was like, well, absolutely. I got you now, Tom. What about that? But your point is well taken. I do not think he is as high on maybe Gonzo as others are.
And does the ownership share that feeling? I mean, it just makes you wonder.
I'm telling you, there's something weird with the members of the media, like, coming out. And I'm not, and Tommy Curran is not that type of guy. But it does seem almost as if someone got the memo that they're trying to lower his value in the negotiating process.
Sure are.
The whole him being soft thing that happened a couple of weeks ago.
GM Greg Bedard was on the record multiple times.
His name's Schmidard.
Once again, these are all people whose reporting I like. Like, I like them. But it just seems strange that it almost seems coordinated, in all of this.
I would like to be on that list of the memo. I want to get those memos when they're sent out, don't you? Why am I not on that group text?
Yeah, I can tell you why I'm not, but you, I don't know.
All right, 617-779-7937. I want to ask you one quick question before we go to break. Rafael Devers shows up tomorrow, Fenway Park. Is he getting booed?
Does he play first base? Just to rub it in.
No, he doesn't get booed. I don't think he gets booed.
I think he does. I think he does.
Oh, he does? He's booed?
Yeah. It'll be mixed. I think it'll be mixed, right? Some cheers, some boos.
Okay.
I can't believe it. I don't think he deserves to get booed. Dude's going to get booed. People love to boo. It's going to happen. He's going to get booed.
He didn't deserve. He wasn't a team player at the end. He was acting like a baby.
That's true, Stiz.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't take away what he did all before that.
But it certainly rubs the shine off it a little.
I
keep saying it, Ted. They booed Vinatieri when he came back. They're going to boo Devers.
That's what I'm saying. We are a passionate fan base for the better and for the worse.
Should he be booed? I'd say no. Will he get booed? Probably so, yes. But I don't think he deserves to be booed.
Will the Red Sox put together like a montage, like one of those things, like a welcome back Groffy or
the ones of him dogging it?
Well, do you think he's qualified for? I think he would. Yeah, his name's big enough that I would think that the Red Sox would do that.
9 years in Boston. Hard to believe he's here. Yeah.
Just
years.
Play the replay of him being asked if he'll play first base. And
no. All right. I mean, that was at the very end. You know, the previous 8 years were pretty good, right?
Well, it's the last impression that stays in your mouth, man. I'm telling you that they're going to boo him, and they shouldn't. But that's not one of those that I'm going to get horribly upset. Like, oh, what are you doing? You boo him, and then it's over with. But, you know,
If you only knew what Rafi Devers had done.
All right, Lou.
Love you, Lou.
I know. Lou's the best, but that was a funny tweet. All right, 617-779-7937. Speaking of your Red Sox, our own Dale Ordway was out on the streets talking to the people last night. It's funny, he was out at Fenway, but he was asking a football question. We will get to that right after this.